Well, this morning I want to talk to you about the Lord is your healer. Look in Exodus chapter 15. The Lord is our healer, and He's a healing God. Everybody say, He's a healing God. We're going to go all the way back to the beginning of the Bible and see a little bit about the character of God that you probably knew, but you know what? It never hurts us to hear it again and again and again. Because sometimes things happen to us in life and our circumstances say one thing and the Bible says the other thing, you know? And it's kind of like, yeah, I know what the Bible says, but if you're not bathing your spirit in what the Word says and reviewing all the time what your covenant says and all the time putting in your heart and your mind who your God is and what He's done for you, you tend to believe the circumstances. You know, if you have sickness in your body, it's easy to believe sick. You feel sick, you look sick, you got the diagnosis of sick. You know what I mean? God says something completely different about you, but unless you spend more time focusing in on what He says, you're going to believe sick because it's with you. It's real. You feel it, you know? And so that's why we look into the Word of God. That's where we get a vision of our life from here, not from here. And it takes effort. You know, I always like to say it this way. You are in a little canoe. Your life is a little canoe. Wow, that's big. Anyway, and you got your little paddle, which is the Word of God. And there you are in your little canoe. And you're on the river of life. On this earth. Now the river, not the river of life from heaven, don't confuse it with that. I'm talking about the world's way of living. And all of our canoes are on this river because we live on this earth, right? And here's the deal. If you sit in your little boat with your paddle like this, what's going to happen? You're going to go downstream, right? Automatically, with the world's way, with the curse. It's going to be pulling you, just automatically. You haven't done anything wrong. You just haven't done anything. So you're going downstream, and the curse is part of it, right? You're doing what the world does. You're under the curse. Sickness comes, lack comes, fear, and everything comes, because that's what happens. We as Christians are supposed to take our Word of God, turn our little canoe around, and paddle upstream against the current of this world every day until we die. And that's the problem. It's every day until we die part. It takes diligence, doesn't it? Yes. To do something like that. It's not too hard. And you have the paddle. It's not impossible for you, but does it take some effort? Yeah. And that's why we come to church. And that's why we read the Word. We don't read the Word to go, okay, I read my 6 chapters today. I am a good Christian, and therefore I deserve to have the blessings. That's not why you read your Bible. You're not earning and deserving the blessings. They are already yours. Yes. In Christ Jesus. You are reading this so that you remember that they're yours, so that they become more real to you than what's going on in the natural, so that you take your authority and what belongs to you in Christ. And that's why we're looking way back here at the very beginning. We're going to see a little something about the character of God that you probably already knew in the back of your head, but it sure doesn't hurt us to look again and again and again and again and strengthen our inner man. We're paddling. It takes some effort to go upstream. When the world says, when you get sick, this is what happens. We go, no, when we get sick, we get healed because of the blood of Jesus. Right? Take some effort. Take some effort to believe what you can't see yet. Faith believes what God says, not what's happening in the natural. So in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26, now God is talking to the children of Israel. They just crossed the Red Sea. In the wilderness, remember, they're escaping from Egypt. They come up against the Red Sea, and Pharaoh's army is bearing down upon them. And God says, Moses, raise up your staff, and the sea parts. And so they get on the other side, and they party. Pharaoh's army is destroyed, and then they come to, and then they all of chapter 15. Really, they're singing a song of joy. The horse and rider thrown into the sea song. And so then towards the end of that, they come to a place called Mara where they're thirsty and they all want to drink and the water is bitter. And so God, you know, they complain because it's what they do because they're sinners. and not that Christians don't complain too. But anyway, they dip the tree in the water and they make the water sweet. And God has something to say. It says at the end of verse 25, and there He tested them. That's a whole nother message. I got a whole nother message on testing. You know what? God has every right to test you. a test is not something that a plot and conspiracy against you. It's checking to see what you're going to do in a situation, to see if you're ready for the next situation. He's trying to put you in place to succeed. And so he tests them here, and they flunk. and he says so here in verse 26, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I'll put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." So we can see way back here in the very beginning of the book, who is the Lord? He is a healer. He has always been the healer. His plan for his man is healing. You have to come to grips with this in your head. If you think that every once in a while God puts sickness on you to teach you something, you're in trouble. Because why would you believe for something to get off of you if God put it on you? I always laugh at those people who say, now I'm sorry, I don't mean laugh at, but you know, kind of laugh about, the people who say, you know, God put this sickness on me, and they're going to the doctor. I'm like, well, okay, if God put the sickness on you, then that's his will for you, right? That you be sick. Why are you going to the doctor to try to get out of God's will? It's kind of mean when you say that. They don't quite know what to say about it. No, God is a healing God. Amen. Sickness never, ever, ever comes from God. It only comes from the enemy of your soul, the God of this world. It comes from the devil. It is never God's will. Way back here in the beginning, he said, I am the Lord that heals you. And guess what? He's God. He changes not. He hasn't changed his mind about healing for one second all the way through the old covenant, and certainly all the way through the new, because Jesus paid for it. So he is the God that heals us. I like what it says in the New American Standard. He says, "For I, the Lord, am your healer." So I would just want to remind you this morning, God is your healer. It is his absolute positive will for healing to be in your body, and it's supposed to come through you to others. You know, the Bible says if you're a believer, you lay hands on the sick, and what happens? They will recover. Hallelujah. That's what we are meant. We are carriers, you know. Carriers of this good news. Carriers of the Holy Spirit of God on the earth. We are supposed to lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So he's our healer, and he's the healer of everybody around us. And we got to kind of let it rise up big on the inside of us. I got the healer in me. Hallelujah. He is my healer. He is the Lord who heals. I want you to think of, this is God talking to you. You know, the Bible is him talking to you. So he's, what if he appeared in your bedroom this morning? And he said, "Pastor Jim, I am the Lord and I heal you." Man, that would make an impact on you, wouldn't it? If he appeared to you and said, "I am the Lord who heals you." Well, that's what he said. This is him talking to you. He is your healer. He's not any other kind of God. And again, this is Old Testament, right? We have an even better covenant. But look really fast, as long as we're in the Old Testament, look in Isaiah chapter 53. The books of Isaiah and Jeremiah in particular testify, prophesy, about what God's plan is in the new birth. During the time that Isaiah and Jeremiah are prophesying in the Old Testament, God's people, the children of Israel, well, they've divided into two different kingdoms, for one thing, Israel and Judah, and they are about to be taken captive by their enemies, exiled off of the promised land, where some of them are going to never return, and some of them are going to come back. But all that to say, Jeremiah and Isaiah are talking to a stiff-necked, rebellious, in trouble, disobedient people. Okay? I'm glad I wasn't them. I really am glad I didn't have their job, because nobody likes them. They're always trying to kill them because they're standing up and going, "Here's what's going to happen to you because of your disobedience. You're going to go into exile. Things aren't looking good for you. Listen to God." They're not very popular in their day. But they start talking about things that are going to come to pass. You know, every book in the Old Testament is talking about Jesus coming. Since the beginning of time, God had in mind a Savior for mankind. The Old Testament shows us that man couldn't be good by himself and needed a Savior. And in every book of the Old Testament, you find God saying, "He's coming. He's coming. A better way is coming." And so here in Isaiah 53, Isaiah is talking about Jesus, okay? He's talking about this good plan that God has. He's talking to this stiff-necked, rebellious, disbelieving, disobedient people and going, it's not always going to be this way, guys. Things are going to get better. I'm going to send you a Savior. Jeremiah says, and I put his law in your heart, and he'll give you a new heart and make you a new creature. And Isaiah says here in 53 and in verse, well, let's look in verse 3. He's talking about Jesus. He's despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely, this is the good part. Well, it's all good, but it's the part we're talking about this morning. Surely he has borne our griefs. And another word there in the original Hebrew is sicknesses. Surely he has borne our sicknesses and carried our sorrows or our pains. Okay, so you could read it. Surely he has borne our sicknesses and carried our pains. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Now, this has been God's plan since way before Jesus even came, and definitely after Jesus came, took your infirmities, took the stripes on his back, bore your sicknesses, and it's still in effect today. God has not changed his mind. He's the healer. I am the Lord that heals you. And not only that, I'm going to put this covenant into effect through the blood of my son that solidifies this deal forever. Forever by the shed blood of Jesus. You know, that blood is on the mercy seat in heaven and it hasn't lost any bit of its power. It hasn't lost its saving power, hasn't lost its healing power. He is the healer. He's prophesying it back here in the old covenant, and the good news is then Jesus came. Look at Matthew chapter 8. You know, it's easy for God to heal a body. It is not even remotely hard. He made bodies. You know, and he has a ton of ways of healing. You can't even put him in a box. I mean, I don't know. One of my favorites is the whole spitting on mud thing, spitting on dirt and making mud. Yes. Come on, really, God? I think that he did that just to show us you haven't even thought of all the ways he plans to heal. Why? Because he is a healer. Don't think you can put him in a box and think, you know, you got to stand right here and you got to have hands laid on you just like this and I can only get healed if so-and-so prays for me or if I can, you know, forget all that. You're talking about the nature of your Savior, the nature of your Father. He is a healer. He is going to get it to you any way he can. Before I went to work at Raymond, this time I worked for the Roberts family. Richard Roberts, everybody know who he is? Everybody see him on TV ever? You know, Richard and Lindsay have a healing show. And before I went to work for them, I had seen him on TV. And you know, have you ever seen him hold his hands up to the screen and say, you know, put your whatever on my hands, whatever part of you is injured, and I'll pray for you. And I thought it's the dumbest thing I ever heard. I'm like, yeah, right, whatever. You know, but I was ignorant and foolish and dumb. Because then I went to work for them, and oh my gosh, the testimonies that came in. The things that people put up against the screen. You know, you're thinking, how did you, and yet every one of them ended up healed. Why? Because God wants to get healing to his people. Any place that you'll believe him, he wants to get healing to you. He's a healing God. He is the healer. You know, and so I expanded my box somewhat after I went to work for Richard and Lindsay because I just thought, hey, what do I know? Just because I've never held my hands up against a TV screen and anybody got healed, who am I to say it doesn't work? Because it's God who's doing it. Richard says that too. It's not my hands. It's you believing in God that when you do this, it's just your step of faith. Oral calls it your point of contact. You know what I mean? At some point, you just believe you receive. And that just happened to be that he said, come on, let's do it. You know, I'm telling you, God is a healer. He wants to get healing to his people however he can. He wants people to be healed. He has lots of ways of healing. Sometimes he does it through doctors and medicine. You know, sometimes your body heals itself. Isn't the body an amazing thing? Yes. You know, like you get a cut, it doesn't stay for the rest of your life until you die. What happens? It heals itself. It's pretty amazing. You know? And he does it, and he does it through the spitting on the dirt, you know, that Jesus put on the guy's eyes and he was healed. I just think that one is so funny. I don't know that I would ever think to do that. I know, let's make mud and put it on your face. I think he did that just to show us. I got a million ways. Don't you worry about it. I got it covered. He Peter's shadow falling on people in the New Testament. They got healed. I wouldn't have thought of that. Here, y'all just stay on the other side of the sun from me and you'll get healed. No, but that's what God is. He's a healer. He's looking for ways to get healing to people. Sometimes it's just a move of the Spirit and everybody in the room gets healed. Sometimes you lay hands on people and they get healed. And it says, you know, in Mark 16 that we'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So we should do that. But it doesn't mean that's how it happens every time. Why? Because he is the healer. He's looking to get healing to his people. Are you in Matthew chapter 8? Look what it says here in verse 17. This is the story of Jesus and his disciples go to Peter's mother-in-law's house, and she's sick, and so he raises her up. He just takes her hand and brings her up out of the bed. That's another way, apparently, that people can get healed. For you and me, it's just to be led by the Spirit. What's God telling you to do to help that person get healed? If you're praying for somebody else, you might do something crazy. You know, spit on them. But be sure you know it's God. I remember hearing a story about Smith Wigglesworth. You know who he is? Yes. He, you know, old saint of God, yeah? One time kicked a baby off the stage. Oh, you better know it's God before you do that. Lord have mercy. Drop kicked him. And whoever caught him on the other end, he was healed. You know? Man. But why? Because God's a healing God. Don't look at the methods. Look at the healer. You know, and then just be led by your Spirit. So here they are at Peter's mother-in-law's house, and Jesus just touched her hand and helped her up, and the fever left her, and she got healed. And so then in verse 16, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, which we just read. He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Now, God wouldn't repeat that in the New Testament unless it's still in effect and it's bought and paid for right here, right now. Jesus came along to kind of say, yep, always a healing God, still a healing God. I took your infirmities and bore your sicknesses. I'm doing it right here while I'm on the earth. But the best news is he died and he shed his blood so that that's available to everybody everywhere all the time now. You don't have to go see Jesus because he's not here anymore. You know, he's alive, but he's not on the earth. He's on the earth in us. He's on the earth in his Spirit, which is in us. So we are the carriers of this healing power. It's available for our bodies, and it's available for us to convey to other people. Aren't you glad? Thank God. And so I want you to think about, he himself took our infirmities. It wasn't a doctor who took our infirmities. You know, it wasn't anybody but Almighty God himself took your infirmities. You know, when God does something, he does it real good. He does it all the way. And he doesn't change his mind about it. You and I, we can't hardly even conceive that, because we're people and we know people. And we've changed our mind, and we know people who've changed their mind. But God doesn't change his mind. He himself, the healer, I am the Lord that heals you. That I am, himself, took your infirmities and bore your sicknesses. Is there any reason for you to bear them? None. None. If sickness is on you, it's on you illegally. If sickness is on one of your loved ones, it's on there illegally, based on our covenant, the law of our covenant. So what do? Resist. No, sickness. You ain't got no part of me. I ain't got no part of you. My God is the healer. My God, I am himself, took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. And by his stripes, I am the healed. Look in 1 Peter 2:24. Thank God for his healing power. Already bought and paid for. You know, some people are waiting to be healed. I'm telling you right now, stop waiting. You are the healed. You are not the sick waiting to get healed. That's like somebody you know, that's saying, God, please heal me. Done deal. Took, bore. You understand these are past tense words, right? Mm-hmm. Past tense. He already took your infirmities. He already bore your sicknesses. And look what it says here in 1 Peter 2:24. Remember when we read it in Isaiah, it says, by his stripes you are healed. Well, look what it says here in 1 Peter 2:24. It says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Does it say were in everybody's Bible? Yes. We probably all have different versions. But it says were. Why? When were you healed? When Jesus hung on the cross and took the stripes, bore the sickness for you so you don't have to bear it. And so if you were, guess what? You are. Done deal. Don't be waiting to be healed. Healing is bought and paid for with your covenant. It's like if I went to the, bought and paid for. It's like if I went to the grocery store and I bought a gallon of milk and I told the lady behind the counter, my friend Ann is going to come along and get this milk. You know, I didn't have time to see her or give her money for milk today, but I'm going to give her some milk. And so when she comes in the store, this is for her. Okay? It's already bought and paid for. Now, some people forget to go to the store. The milk is sitting there. Well, let's not use milk because it'll spoil. Let's say bread, okay? Something that's just sitting there waiting because I bought and paid for it already and I put her name on it. And if she's smart, she goes down to the store and she goes, did Karen come by here earlier and buy and pay for something for me? Yeah, Ann, here you go. Here's your bread because it's already bought and paid for. It belongs to you. Does she have to give them money for it? No, it's already bought and paid for. She doesn't have to do anything to earn it or deserve it. She doesn't have to beg the checker person to give it to her. It's bought and paid for. The transaction has already occurred. Done deal. Now, some people, like I said, don't go to the store. The bread's already there, bought and paid for. The healing is already there, bought and paid for. But they don't know. No, either nobody told them, or they believe the lack of bread more than they believe the bought and paid for part. They think, oh, that's just too good. Why would somebody go down to the store and buy and pay for my bread? And so through doubt or fear, what if I get down there and there's no bread? Then I'll be disappointed and I'll look stupid. Right? People have all sorts of reasons. They don't even go. But it's there. This is how your healing is, from your healing God, whose very nature is healing. I am the Lord who heals you. And he made sure, he believed it, he said it in the old covenant, but he made sure in the new, by the stripes of Jesus. I don't know about you, but I don't want to look into the face of Jesus and say what you bore wasn't enough. You know, the devil would like you to think, well, yeah, that healing thing, it works for some people, but you just never know if it's going to work for you. And he loves to say, you know, you don't deserve it. You didn't this and you didn't do that right. And you don't. Liar, liar, pants on fire forever. Liar. He's trying to talk you out of something that's been bought and paid for with a terrible price. I'm going to receive every bit of what Jesus did for me on the cross. I'm not going to look him in the face and say, it wasn't enough. It was enough. I'm sorry, we have not seen a sickness or disease that is bigger than the blood of Jesus, bought and paid for. And if by his stripes you were healed, guess what? By his stripes, you are healed. You are healed. God just wants you to believe him. You might as well just strut around and go, I am the healed. Sickness, you get off of me. You are not the sick trying to get well. You are not the sick trying to convince God, oh, please heal me. Done, already done, just take it. Just believe it. Just step up. Bathe your spirit in this truth until it becomes more real than the sickness in your body or the sickness in someone else's body. You know, and healing comes in lots of ways, like I said, very interestingly enough, but it's always going to have to be maintained by faith, by knowing this. You know, lots of people think, well, if I can just get into a Benny Hinn meeting and have him lay hands on me, I'll be healed. And you know what? Lots of people are. But then, I'm telling you, somewhere along the line, the devil always revisits. It's one of his favorite things. Because that was a weak area in your life, a fear area. He's going to come back and see if he can just tweak that little button again. See if you'll take it. And my admonition to you is don't. Don't take it. No, the same healing power that healed me the first time is still working, never going to change. I am the healed, get away from me symptoms. You know, but people get the symptoms again of something and they go, oh, I guess it didn't work. They believe the symptoms more than they believe the covenant, which means you got to keep feeding yourself this covenant because you got to keep that paddle in the water and you got to keep paddling every day, right? I know Brother Hagin said, you know, when he was born really premature, about as big as a comb. In fact, the doctor thought he was dead and was going to throw him out, but somebody, his grandma, saw like a spark of life in him, so she put him in a little shoebox and kept him alive. Anyway, so he had a bad heart and a bad blood disease, and nobody expected him to live. He was bedfast up to 16 years old, and the doctor came to him and just would tell him, you know, stay ready. That was the medical help that he got. It was like, you can't live, and so you're going to die, and so, you know, make sure that you're ready to go. And so he sat in his bed and read his grandma's Methodist Bible and found out about healing and got healed, got raised up off the bed of sickness. Great story. You should read all about it. But all that to say, what he used to tell us is then for the rest of his life, he kept his spirit full of the Word of God on healing. He read every day about healing. It's kind of like taking your medicine. Proverbs says the Word of God is like medicine to your flesh. Yes. You know what I mean? And too many people just, maybe they get healed and then they just go off and they don't, you know, they don't keep their spirit full of what they know belongs to them. So then if something comes up to trip them later, they panic. And then they believe the symptoms more than they believe this. The healing power is the same. You didn't lose nothing. You just got tempted by the devil to believe some symptoms again. It's what he does. He especially comes back on your weakness. You ever notice that? I mean, say you were a drug addict before you got saved. You know what? Temptation to do drugs is going to come back. You live on an earth with a curse. The God of this world is going to come back and see if your walls are down, if your area of weakness is the same as it was. You know what I mean? He's not ever going to tempt me with that because I've never done drugs. I saw a drug once. I mean, I am like, you know, I just don't know anything about it. He's going to tempt me with something different because my area is different of weakness than yours. We all have them. Trust me. There's no perfect people, okay? So you can't be surprised when the devil comes and tries to tweak your weakness. Just be ready. Just know what your covenant says. No. No, devil. I'm not going to do drugs again. No, I am the healed. You got to stand up to him. You got to enforce your rights. You got to keep your paddle in the water and keep paddling upstream every day. It takes diligence. You got to keep your heart and mind full of the Word of God every day. And if you think that's too hard, then try living life without it. You know, any day you go without reading the Word is a day you're trying to live life in your own strength, and it is too hard for you. Too hard for you. None of us is good enough to go without this in our hearts and our minds. It's alive, it's active, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's what sets you free and keeps you free. I mean, if Brother Hagin, you know, the father of the Word of Faith camp message, had to read his Bible every day to keep his healing, and again, that doesn't mean it all depends on you. I'm not trying to get into bondage or law or anything like that. I just happen to know that the human mind will believe the symptoms unless it's keeping its heart and mind full of the Word of God. It's just how we're built. It's just what we'll do. So you do this because you want to keep this alive. You want to believe this more than what's going on around you. Not because, oh my gosh, I didn't read my Bible today, therefore God's going to get me. No. Or I read all my Bible, how come the devil came against me? You're not earning and deserving the covenant. It's already bought for you. Right? It's already paid for. You're keeping your heart and mind full of what it says. And you got to do it because the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It's what he does. Hasn't changed his job in all these years. And if you let him, he'll steal from you. And if you let him, he'll kill you. And if you let him, he'll destroy stuff. So you've got to enforce your covenant of life. And that means you got to know it. And that means you got to speak it. And it means you got to believe it more than what's going on around you. I like to look at Romans 11. I won't keep you here too much longer. Let's just look at this really fast. You know, you are not even close to being defeated. I want you to remember that. You are the covenant bearer. You are the container of all the things that God has promised. That is who you are. Not even close. In all these things, you are more than a conqueror. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. It's working for you. Your covenant is working. So don't be alarmed. Every symptom or situation that you're going through is temporary. It is not permanent. The devil wants you to think that it is, but he's a liar. It is not permanent. The only thing permanent is that blood on that mercy seat. The only thing permanent is this covenant. And it never changes. Symptoms got to change. Symptoms of lack, symptoms of fear, symptoms of sickness, whichever. Whatever's going on, it's got to change. I like Romans 8. It says in verse 2, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." And sickness is just, you know, slow death. And the law of the Spirit of life, what Jesus bought and paid for you and me on the cross, has made you free. And then in verse 11, I like where it says, "But the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead, if he dwells in you," which he does if you're born again, you don't have to worry where he is, he's in there. "If that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." I love to think about this. You know, when Jesus was in that tomb, every demon in hell was trying to keep him in there. They were having a party in hell. They had known all through the Old Covenant that this guy was coming. They knew that the Son of Man was coming. And they had killed him. They were like, score. Because the devil, you know, is out to take over God's kingdom. And he thinks, if I can kill the heir, if I can kill the son, then I get the kingdom. So he's been waiting and fearing and wondering all these years. And finally, here he comes. Here's Jesus. And he killed him. He's thinking, woohoo, now I've got it made. Every demonic power in hell is holding this body in the tomb. This is what all the devil's focus is on. It's going to require more power than anything to raise him from the dead. And here's what happened. The stone got rolled away. And the Spirit of life walked into that tomb. And death could not stay there anymore. Could not. In fact, it wasn't even hard for God. But he went into that tomb and death couldn't stay there anymore. And you know where that Spirit is? That same Spirit that walked into that tomb that day and raised Jesus from the dead? Where is he today? Think about that. Ha! He's in me. He's in you. And what's he doing in there? It says here he's bringing to life your mortal body. If death couldn't stay in the tomb with that Spirit walked in, guess what? Death can't stay in your body with that same Spirit in there. That same Spirit that Jesus rose Jesus from the dead in the greatest show of power of all time when every demon in hell was trying to keep him in there. That same Spirit dwells in you. And King James says he's quickening, bringing to life your mortal body. I want you to think about that. Zoe life is coursing through every cell of my body. That's how I say it when I'm talking to my body. Nuh-uh. Zoe life is coursing through every cell. I am the healed. Because that same Spirit dwells in me. Thank God. Thank God he's made me free from the law of sin and death. If you're going to believe in healing, believe it all the way. Believe what God has done for us in Jesus. Thank God. Thank God. He wants us to be healed. He is the healer. Have no doubt about it. Don't for a moment think that you have to beg him for it, that he's put sickness on you to teach you anything. That is not him. He didn't have any to put on you. He only knows life. He only knows healing. And he bought and he paid for it.